Hello, everyone. Good evening. How are you guys doing? You good? Yay. Shot, buddy. If we haven't met before, my name is Matt, one of the leaders here, and it's good to have you. I hope that you have a good time with us this evening. So, as Shane mentioned, we have finished preaching through the letter to the Philippians. And so what I want to do this evening is kind of do a high-level flyover, just a little overview, a little summary, a little pulling a few last little things out by way of finishing off. But before I do that, I'd like to give us an encouragement. So I know that for some of us, reading the scriptures can sometimes be intimidating. And my encouragement is this: the same Holy Spirit who lives in you, if you've put your faith in Jesus, is the Holy Spirit who breathed the Word of God. The same Holy Spirit who inspired men to write the scriptures is the same Holy Spirit who's able to work in your heart as you read the scriptures. And so, yes, it really is our hope that this series that we've done is helpful. It really is our hope that you're able to look at some of the things that the preachers have brought up and to be able to say, gee, that was really so helpful. Of course, we want it to be helpful. But what I would hate for is if you were to sit back and say, gee, I could never get any of that myself. I need you guys to teach me. Yes, we're here to teach. Yes, we can listen to the John Pipers of the world and the Tim Kellers, and we can listen to those sermons, and that's great. But I want to encourage you that personal scripture reading for yourself is important. And by the way, it's not just reading. It's actually interaction, engaging with God. And the Holy Spirit is able not just to help you understand. You see, sometimes we feel like that's the point of reading the Bible. If I just understand what's going on. No, there's much more than that. There's actually a life. There's a fruit. There's something to be birthed inside of you and then expressed. That's what God really wants to do. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to learn His voice. And the Holy Spirit is the one who's able to do that. And so I really want to encourage you. The Holy Spirit who breathed the Word lives in you if you've put your faith in Jesus. The second part to my encouragement is to maybe use a little bit of an analogy. I think in some ways, reading the scripture can be like building a puzzle, right? So hear me out here. All analogies, I know they have their shortfalls, but to a degree, I think scripture reading is like building a puzzle. So if we, you know, pull the puzzle pieces out of the box, any puzzle builders here, you kind of like building puzzles? Okay, so I know that there's some of you here. Right, when you pull those puzzle pieces out on the table, some of those puzzle pieces are face down. You can't actually see them. Some of those puzzle pieces are face up, and there's just a few of them that'll pop out to you, and you're like, ooh, there's the sunshine yellow from the sunset. That goes to the sunset section. Ooh, there's the red face brick from the house. That must be part of the wall over there. There's the ginger cat hair. I don't know what kind of puzzles you do, but, you know, cat puzzles are cool as well, I suppose. Some of those things stand out to you. But for the most part, I mean, unless you're really amazing, none of us picks up a puzzle piece for the first time and knows exactly where to put it. You don't build a puzzle having touched each piece only once. It's just, I want to say it's just not possible, but maybe for someone. But most of us normal people, we pick up a puzzle piece. I don't know. Down it goes. And you handle puzzle pieces multiple times before you know where to put it. And you start to build a picture. I think in some ways, reading the scripture is like this. We read the scriptures. Sometimes you don't even see stuff. It's just doesn't go in. You just don't notice it. Sometimes there will be some things that stand out to you. And it's like you just know what to do with it, right? Somehow there's just a promise. There's a truth. There's something that's wonderful, something encouraging. And you're like, yes, I take hold of that puzzle piece. Thank you very much, Lord. Yeah. But very often you read the scriptures and you're like, yeah, I'll come back to that. Anyone? Hey, we just because you read it for the first time doesn't mean that automatically there should be bearing fruit. You should know what to do with it. It should make sense. Hey, you can have Philip, been reading the Word for how many years, Philip? 60 years. When you read scriptures today, is there something that's new and fresh? Yes. Because the puzzle pieces still need to fit. We're still building puzzles of the word after 60 years. We never arrive until we meet the Lord one day. And so I want to encourage you that as you read the word, it's okay if sometimes you go, what? Okay, moving on. Until sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to deal with this puzzle piece today. He wants to illuminate this truth today. He wants you to be encouraged here. He wants you to be corrected here today. Whatever it is, you don't have to deal with every single puzzle piece of Scripture immediately. You will take time, many years, to build the picture that makes sense. So the Holy Spirit is in you, and sometimes it's okay to move on and hear him speak on this particular section, but not that. You guys with me? You okay with that? Right? So encouragement. I think in some ways what we've been doing in this series on Philippians is we've kind of, each preacher has taken a little section of the puzzle of Philippians. We've poured out the puzzle pieces, and then we've shown you, here's a couple of puzzle pieces. This is how they fit together. Just a few. And I really hope that that's been helpful. Now, for those of you who do like to build your puzzle pieces, your puzzles, right? What's the first thing that you do after shaking them out the box and putting them on the table? Yes. Sorry? Corners, right? The edge. Okay, so probably most of us will turn them face up. I don't know. And then you got the corner people. Anyone do another version, not the corners? Right? Some people like to go for like the common colors. Or the, ooh, there's the mountain pieces. There's the lake pieces. There's the cat, right? There we go. Now, I think in some ways what we did on the very first Sunday when we started looking at Philippians was we said to you, there's a theme that's running throughout Philippians. And it's this theme of partnering in the gospel, partnership in the gospel. That's like the golden thread. It's like the backbone, the skeleton. It's like the edges of the puzzle. There's our framework. It's like these are the major parts of the puzzle, is partnership in the gospel. It's like the melody, the tune that just keeps going through the whole song. Partnership in the gospel. And so one of the things I did was I've made three slides, and I've put the whole of the letter to the Philippians on those three slides. And then everything that has to do with partnership in the gospel, I've highlighted in a strange maroony pinky kind of a color. And so I'm not going to read through the whole thing, as tempting as it is. Next slide, you'll see there again, we've got some more. Another slide, there it is again. It's just woven throughout. And there's this language of affection and of brotherhood and of sisterhood and of co-laboring and of caring for one another and of serving for one another and of being of one mind and one heart and one spirit. And gosh, this person loves you and you love them, and won't you help them because they labored with me and you guys need to work together. It's just this consistent theme throughout, all the way through. And so doing something like this in your own time of reading the scriptures can also be really helpful. It's not just an academic exercise. It's not just, ooh, let me be about my Bible reading today. That's not really the point. But allow the Holy Spirit to start pointing things out to you. You know, sometimes it's a couple of verses and that's cool. And sometimes after a few days, maybe the Holy Spirit might just say, you see that? That was the same as yesterday. And if you read on ahead, look, there it is again. There it is again. And as you stand back, as you highlight, as you circle, I don't know, anyone here still do paper? I like good old paper. I like to underline and circle, but maybe you've got your app and you can highlight a couple of things, and you stand back and you see something like this. You say, well, gosh, Lord, there really does seem to be this consistent message of partnership in the gospel. Now, this is great. Yay for intellectual. But let's pause. This is you reading the scripture and your time with the Lord. Well, Holy Spirit, what are you saying? What are you saying? Partnership in the gospel. Partnership in the gospel. Is this important? It clearly looks important. It looks like it's a thread throughout. And so now you can start to ask yourself some questions, pray through some questions. What is the gospel? What is partnership in the gospel? am I partnering in the gospel? Should I be partnering in the gospel some more? Where can I improve? Who can help me? Who's really actively unhelping me? Who should I not be with so much anymore? These are really good questions to ask. It's good to ask yourself questions, application questions, and then to spend some time allowing the Holy Spirit to just massage these things in. Some prayerful thinking. You pray and then you ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, and then you go, okay, let me do a self audit here and trust that the Holy Spirit is going to guide you in some of that answering. So I want to do a little bit of that this evening. I want to look at this thread, this theme, and kind of there's 2 points that I really feel the Lord has put on my heart to share with us tonight. But as we sort of stand back and we say, all right, partnership in the gospel, I'm going to say it again. I've said it a few times. I'm going to do it again because it's worthwhile. What is the gospel? We've said that gospel means good news. And as Philip Lefevre pointed out to us, I think on week 2 or 3, it's not just good news. It's good news proclaimed. It's good news heralded. It's good news brought. And so what is the gospel? I think there's many different ways that we could say it. The gospel is the good news that God loved the world so much. Don't, just because you've heard this a million times, don't let it lose its meaning. The gospel is the good news that Jesus, that God loved the world so much that he sent his only son, Jesus, so that whoever believes in him, whoever, I love that, whoever believes in him might have eternal life, eternal resurrection life. That's amazing. We could say that the gospel is the good news that through Jesus, there is forgiveness of sin, or that there is freedom from slavery to sin, because you were enslaved. And now because of the work of Jesus, you're free. Hey, that's good news to receive or to give. The gospel is the good news that because of Jesus, the disconnect that we had with God has been dealt with. Now you can reconnect with him. That's really good news. Or here's something that's really been meaningful for me for the last few years. The gospel is the good news that this world has not been abandoned by God. Parents, little kids, I don't know if you ever heard anyone say, what a terrible world to bring children into. This world's not been abandoned. Let me tell you what, you've brought children into a world that God is actively working in to heal, to restore, to renew all things. And one day everything will be reconciled to God and made right again. That's the world that we've brought our children into. That's good news. I love that. So the gospel is good news because God loved the world so much and he chose to act, because God sent Jesus to deal with our sin, because Jesus rose from the dead, because those who believe in Jesus will one day rise with Christ, because we now have personal access to God, because we have forgiveness and freedom and love and wholeness and life, because Jesus commanded that we take this news to the whole world and make disciples of him, because of all these reasons, because of all of this, Paul says, we're going to partner together in this. What is partnership in the gospel? What does Paul have in mind when he uses this phrase right in chapter 1, in the beginning? Right? Your partnership in the gospel. What does he mean? Gordon Fee summarized it. He says, what Paul has in mind by partnership in the gospel is every word spoken and every deed done in behalf of the gospel. If you're doing it because of what Jesus has done, and if you're doing it for Jesus, with people, for people, you're partnering in the gospel. I mean, some of the language that we read throughout Philippians, there's family, there's soldiering, there's working and laboring, deep affection, sharing burdens, giving money, regular prayer, sharing suffering, one heart, one mind, one spirit, concern for one another, sending aid, following examples. Gosh, partnership can look so varied. So, the two points that I want to make this evening. I think that understanding partnership in the gospel is freeing, and I think understanding partnership in the gospel helps us to focus. Helps us to focus. So let me start off what I mean by freeing. Partnership in the gospel is not just for the paid pastor person up at the frontier. It's not just for the dominie. It's not just for your life group leaders. It's not for the super spiritual people. Partnership in the gospel is for every follower of Jesus. And it's not cookie cutter. Right? You know the cookie cutter? This is the one shape. Dough, 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 cookie dough. All your cookies look the same. No. That's not what partnership in the gospel looks like. Partnership in the gospel can look like financial contribution, prayer, affection, service, listening. Huh? Some of you are good listeners. Giving, resolving conflict, forgiving, and hospitality. Partnership in the gospel could be teaching kids how to surf, helping people to budget, building wheelchair ramps, painting walls, or towing cars. If you are doing something because of the work of Jesus, and you're doing it for Jesus, with people, you're partnering in the gospel. It could be babysitting. It could be house sitting. It could be watering someone's pot plants while they're away. Don't ask me to do that. I will kill your plants. It could be fixing motorbikes. It could be intercession. If it's because of the good news and if it's for the good news, it's partnering in the gospel. I think this is incredibly freeing because I don't know about you, but I kind of have this thing in my mind of this is what it's supposed to look like. And I look at a Michiel or I look at a Grant or a someone and go, I just, that gets it. Every time, I can't do that. Why am I trying to be Grant? Why am I trying to be Philip? I'm not Philip. I'm just not. Does that mean I can't partner in the gospel because Philip does it really well? No, because my context is different. My skill set is different. My giftings are different. My space in life is very different. You know what? God made you different from the other person. Thank the Lord that he did. And so your partnership in the gospel can look different from someone else, can look different from someone else. And I love this letter to the Philippians because there's all these different examples that we have. So don't think, well, I need to be like one of the 12 apostles. You're not. God made you you, and he put you here, in this time, in this place, for a reason. He wired you. He gifted you. He filled you with the Spirit in a unique way. And we need your contribution. We need your partnership in the gospel, for the gospel. And it's not just about this community. The world out there needs you to be partnering in the gospel. No one is excluded. Everyone has a part to play. It includes men. It includes women. It includes these little chokikiris running around. People who are in business and those who are not involved in business. People who are wealthy and people who are not wealthy. People of high standing, people of low standing. People who are English, people who are Afrikaans. People who are Xhosa speaking and everything else. Everyone who is a follower of Christ can partner in the gospel. No one is excluded. I find that incredibly freeing. And I hope that that's an encouragement for you because a little bit later on, we're going to have an opportunity to kind of do a little bit of a self audit. I'm hoping that many of us will sit back and go, oh, I've been doing this. Yeah. So stop beating yourself up. You've been doing it already. Is there space for improvement? Oh, come on. All of us, there's some space where there's room for improvement, but we'll get there. Right, the second point I want to make is that I think understanding partnership in the gospel gives us focus. What do I mean by that? Give me a couple of minutes and I think we'll get there. I'm going to talk about a couple of passages, chapter 2, chapter 3, little sections that Paul is talking about. I'm going to start off in chapter 2, verse 5 to 11. Paul writes and he says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped." Jesus is God. He's not holding on to that. He lets go of that. Verse 7, made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. We're being encouraged to have this mindset, have the same mindset as Jesus. Verse 8, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. As we partner with one another in the gospel, we should have the same mind as Jesus. He didn't hold on to something that he could have held on to, but he let it go and he humbled himself. He became a servant. He obeyed the Father, even to the point of death. And what happens? God exalts him. And we should have that same mindset ourselves. What would your marriage look like if you had the same mind as Christ? What would your parenting look like if you had the same mind, same mindset, the same approach as Jesus Christ? Because what Paul has said is, I think this is one of the central pieces to this letter, is we're looking at Jesus. Everything else revolves around this Jesus and this action, this mindset. What could your singleness look like if you had this mindset? What could your sexuality look like if you had this mindset? What could your life group look like if you had this mindset? What could your office environment look like if you had this mindset? It says we partner in the gospel together, this relationship, working with one another. Paul says, have this mind, same mind as Jesus. Didn't hold on to it, didn't grasp it. He let go and he humbled himself. And what happened? God exalted him at the right time. God will exalt you at the right time as well, says Peter. But Paul also gives more examples to follow. He doesn't just stop with Jesus. A little bit further on, chapter 2, verse 19 to 24. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him. Imagine someone saying, yes, I've got no one like you. I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. Timothy is another example of what partnership in the gospel can look like. I suppose, in a way, what we can say is, Timothy's taken the mindset of Jesus, and this is what partnership in the gospel looks like for him. And Paul is using him as an example for us to look to. Timothy showed genuine concern for others' welfare. He sought the interests of others. He was like a son serving with his father in the gospel. Gosh, what a great example to follow. But there's another example. Chapter 2, verse 25 to 30. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier. Three different words or descriptions of what partnership in the gospel can be like. And your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I'm the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with joy and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service for me. So Epaphroditus, here's another example for us to look at. An example of a brother, a fellow worker, a fellow soldier, a minister to someone else's needs. He loves God's people. He nearly died for the work of Christ. There's an example to follow. Now, this is such a friendly letter. It's so nice and warm and fuzzy that the next verse that I'm going to read kind of like, whoa, where did this come from? Chapter 3, verse 2, Paul just gets a little bit feisty and he says, look out for the dogs and the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. What are we talking about here? Right? So there's people who are coming to these Gentile Christians and these people are saying, hey, y'all need to obey the Mosaic law if you want to get to God. And so here we have people who've put their faith in the work of Christ and are now hearing, no, wait, I need to do something else. I have to be circumcised. There's things that I have to do before I'm acceptable to God. And they're actually going to pull you away from true and genuine faith in Jesus. Full reliance on the cross. They're teaching them you have to rely on, there's things that you must do. There's faith, but yeah, there's also works before that faith gets you to God. And Paul says, watch out for those guys because they're going to ruin your relationship with Jesus. They're going to pull you out of partnership in the gospel. Look out for them. I mean, he said you need to have the same mindset, the same mind as Christ. Look at Timothy, look at Epaphroditus, but watch out for people who are going to pull you away from the gospel. I find that really interesting. Watch out. I mean, that's some serious language. It's not like, no, you know, you probably don't want to. No. It's watch out for the dogs and the evildoers. I'm not going to go around calling people that, but I just read it. And then he continues in chapter 3, verse 17 to 18. We're talking about understanding partnership in the gospel helps us to focus. And this is where I hope my statement makes sense. Verse 17. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me. Got Jesus, got Timothy, Epaphroditus. Imitate me, says Paul, as well. And keep your eyes on those. Focus on those. Keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Does it just have to be Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus? No. Anyone who walks according to the example that's been set to us in the scriptures, look to those people. Look to those people who walk according to this example. Why is he emphasizing this? Verse 18, because many of whom I've often told you and now tell you even with tears, he's so distressed about this, he's crying. I've often told you about these people who walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. So why should you focus and set your eyes on people who walk according to the right example? Because many people are enemies of the cross of Christ. So you need to pay attention. Set your eyes on the right people who walk according to the correct example that has been set for you. So I think when we understand partnership in the gospel, it helps us to set our eyes. It helps us to focus on the right people. We've got to have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Look at those people who are walking in the ways and the examples that have been set for us. Who's going to be a good example of what it means to partner in the gospel? Who's going to be a good example of having the same mind as Christ Jesus? Set your eyes on those people. Focus on those people. So, it's all very nice. Let's talk about some application. Now, what I've said to you is we can't do cookie cutter. So, I can't tell you this is what it's supposed to look like. So, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some questions. And only you can answer this. Please don't answer this for the person next to you. He said, bro, you know what you could do better. No. Dear, this is where you couldn't know. No, no. Me. Yes. Then partner. Then connect with people around you and say, this is what I was thinking. What do you think? Could we do this together? But initially, I want to give us some questions. And I'm actually going to give us 5 minutes. I got four questions, 5 minutes. That's 1 minute and 15 seconds per question. So I think we'll be okay. And we'll put some soft music on in the background so it's not completely awkward silence. But there's going to be time for reflection. Can I ask for it to be prayerful reflection? Right? Invite the Holy Spirit into this. So we said understanding partnership in the gospel can be freeing and it can give us focus. So in terms of freeing, and remember, not cookie cutter, it could be a whole bunch of things. Question number one, in what way or what ways am I currently already partnering in the gospel? And I just didn't know it. What are you doing because of the work of Jesus? What are you doing for the work of Jesus together with people already? You know, maybe you're going to life group with this in mind. Maybe you're making food for people to express the love of Jesus. Maybe you're praying for people and no one knows about it. There's a heap of things. Maybe you are teaching people how to serve free of charge for the gospel. Not so that you can pat yourself on the back, but genuinely because of a love for people, because Jesus loves them. There we go. Maybe you're already partnering in the gospel in many ways. But of course, there's always room for improvement in all of us. So the next question is, in what way or ways can I partner in the gospel? I could have said, can I better partner in the gospel? But what's right there? What space are you in? Maybe the Holy Spirit's already been doing the elbow and the ribs, you know, for a while, and you're like, oh, yeah. But maybe you don't know. And perhaps there's something right in front of you. Perhaps it's the person that's just opposite you on the desk. Maybe it's the same person at the shop that you keep seeing again and again. I don't know. But in what way can you partner in the gospel that you're not currently? That's a cool question. Right? And in terms of understanding partnership in the gospel, how it helps us to focus and following the right examples. Question number three, who are the right people that I want to allow to influence my life? Hey, who's walking in the same mindset as Christ Jesus and living in such a way that I'm like, man, I love that example. I'd love for that person to influence me a little bit more. Maybe it's not someone who's even alive. Maybe it's a book from one of the old dead guys. Gotta love those old books, hey? There's some depth and some gravitas in some of those books. Maybe it's, what are you listening to? What do you want to listen to? Podcasts and sermons, I don't know. What are you reading? Who are you meeting with that can positively influence you more? And then, of course, we can also look at, well, maybe there's some people or some things that are not encouraging me towards the right example in Christ Jesus. Maybe there's a streaming service that I should probably just cancel my subscription to that. Maybe I need to adjust those age restriction settings on Netflix and give someone else the code so that I don't know what the PIN is and it's PG-13. I don't know. What is it? What is it for you? What are you listening to? What radio do you just need a... No more of that. I don't know. What person in your life is having the effect of dragging you out of the same mindset of Christ Jesus, dragging you out of partnership in the gospel? So there's four questions. We got 5 minutes. I'm hoping that this letter to Philippians has been helpful for you. I'm hoping that there is a freedom that comes from understanding what partnership in the gospel is. I hope that there's an inspiration towards like, man, I want to get stuck in. I'm going to do a shameless little bit of advertising here. I'm sorry. Maybe one way that you're like, how can I better partner in the gospel is, you know what? I've been coming to Liberty for quite some time now, but I've never officially joined. Hey, you know what? Today's your last opportunity. Sign up for Join. There's Celeste. There's a hand over there. If you come to Join, let me just be clear about this. So Wednesday, Thursday nights, just because you're coming to Join doesn't mean you're joining. What that means is, oh, I think I could possibly join. I think this is the kind of church that I could officially commit to doing this journey of faith with. And then you go through those 2 nights and you're like, okay, this is what you guys believe. Because what you don't want is in 2 years' time, say, you believe what? No, you don't want to be part of a church where you're like, backpedal. So come and find out exactly what it is that we believe. And then you can decide, oh, I think, yes, I would like to partner with these people. And we might say, oh, yes, we think we would like to partner with you because it's a two-sided thing, right? So some questions for you to think about. I hope that this has been helpful. We're going to have 5 minutes, and then we'll come back and we'll take communion together. 5 minutes, 1 minute, 15 seconds per question. Easy. Go for it.